Hare Krishna. So today we are very, very fortunate to have a new speaker today. So our speaker today is Lakshmi Narsingadev Prabhu. He's a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji, along with his wife Sarojanandini Mataji and two sons, they serve in the Atlanta temple. They also run Bhakti Vriksha. So we are very, very fortunate to have your association today, Prabhu. Thank you so much for coming. You can now take over. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 99 onwards. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances to all the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. I wish you a happy new year to all the devotees who have come on the conference call. Am I audible to everyone?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Once again, thanks for inviting me to share a few thoughts about my understanding, what I've learned from Guru and Gauranga. And it's been quite a long gap. I've given a talk maybe a couple of years back. So I'm happy to join again in this conference call, and I request the prayers and the blessings of the devotees so that whatever little words I speak from my little understanding, it is as per the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Should I get started, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Let me start with my prayers to the Parampara and the Gurus. Umagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamakhyam Tadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vatalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Mishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hari Om Tat Sat. So today, I'm just trying to elaborate a little bit about what Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, text 99. And I might also touch upon text 100 and text 101. So we have about 45 minutes to speak. How much time we have?
Yes, Prabhu, 45 minutes to, you know, an hour, including questions, that will be good.
Okay, thank you. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sharana Gathera Akinchanera Eka Ay Rakshana Thara Madhye Naveshaye Atma Samarpana, word to word meaning, Sharanagathera, of a person who has fully taken shelter of Krishna. Akinchanera, of a person who is free of all material desires. Eka Ailakshana, the symptoms are one and the same. Thara Madhye, of them all. Praveshaye, enters. Atma Samarpana, a full surrender. Translation by Stephen Grishala Prabhupada. There are two kinds of devotees, those who are fully satiated and free from all material desires, and those who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Their qualities are one and the same, but those who are fully surrendered to Krishna's lotus feet are qualified with another transcendental quality. What is that? Atma Samarpana, full surrender without reservation. Oh, that's it. So this is the continuation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Sanatana Goswami in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he is continuing to instruct on various subject matters, and it's for Sanatan Goswami is an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Radha Krishna Leela also he is a Manjari. But these discussions are mainly for devotees to understand the science of Krishna consciousness and science of devotional service. So Sanatan Goswami is an instrument here to bring forth all the instructions from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing about the lakshana or the characteristics of the devotees. And in fact, he is drawing an illustration of different kinds of devotees. So the previous verses, if you see, in the verse number 97, I guess. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about Uddhava. So he says, whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up all other engagements and renders service to the Lord. Uddhava gives evidence concerning this. So, this is a continuation of that point that he's making in 97. In the verse number 99, he is mentioning two kinds of devotees. And he mentions here, the first one is Saranagatera. Second is the Akinchanera. An Akinchanera is one who is free from all material desires. And whereas Saranagatera is a devotee who is taken full shelter of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentioned that the Saranagatera is very special because he has done full surrender unto Lord Krishna. Whereas Akinchanera is perhaps not to that level. So, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that that is how much one can become Krishna conscious is there is no end to it. So there's nothing like someone becoming the most perfect devotee. So there is always scope for improvement in devotional service. So the best devotees are the gopis, and even amongst the gopis there are different kinds of gopis, and there are eight principal gopis, and Srimati Radharani, who is non-different from Krishna, who is a feminine representation of Krishna, is the mother of all devotional service. So, and there is absolutely no comparison between devotees here. The point here is that there is different scales, different degrees of devotion, and which all brings forth the pluralistic nature of devotees. So, there are different rasas, unlimited mellows of devotional service. And it is not to say something is better, something is less, but each one is definitely very significant in their own respect. Each one has its own importance in Krishna consciousness. But yes, Krishna does also make a distinction that there are pure devotees, there are purest devotees, and there are devotees who are pure, but not fully, and they are the process of becoming pure. So here, especially, he is making this distinction here between the Akinchanera and Saranagatera type of devotees. So the Akinchanera here, the meaning that is understood from the what I have read from commentaries of other acharyas, is that these are the type of devotees who have perfected in their execution of the Bhakti Yoga principles, and they have conquered their desire for material enjoyment, and they are situated in the mouth of tasting pure Krishna consciousness, but they are perhaps not fully to the level of the other type, Saranagatera, who have fully given themselves Atma Saranagati. They have done Atma Samarpana to the Supreme Personality of God. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to make this distinction here and it helps to make us understand that the most important aspect of devotional service is atma samarpana, giving oneself. Why that's more important is that's when a soul or atma fully becomes an attains a perfection of one's constitutional position. So swarupa siddhi. So what is swarupa? We all know from Bhagavad Gita, swarupa is the uniqueness, the unique position of the spirit soul in with respect to Krishna. It has a unique relationship with Krishna, and the unique relationship is achieved in the highest level of surrender, not otherwise. So we can revive our original position of original devotional service that we have in the Goloka Vrindavan. So once we achieve that potential of fully being able to surrender the Supreme Personality of God without any reservations. So the Akinchanara devotee is not definitely in any way inferior. The point here is that he has taken up the process of devotional service, take up the process of executing the principles of Bhakti Yoga as per the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But he hasn't come to the point of full surrender. But he has conquered the material desires. So this is a perfectional stage of Sadhana Bhakti, or otherwise Sadhana Siddhi. So we have Sadhana Siddhi, Kripa Siddhi. So Sadhana Siddhi is once a devotee perfects the process of execution of sadhana, and they are situated in a very elevated platform. So if we were to put them in the ladder of the scale of the Krishna, the gradation of Krishna consciousness, all the way from starting from Bhajana Kriya to all the way to Prema, so they are in somewhere in the Nishtha platform, because they are fully firm about execution of devotional service. They have conquered the material desires, their anarthas, and they are fully well situated in execution of devotional service. But still, they haven't achieved their full potential of being able to make a complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. So what is a complete surrender? So that's a very deep philosophical topic in the Vaishnava theology. It's very difficult to understand, but there are so many great examples that we can use to understand this principle of surrender. So going to the next verse here, verse number 100. Anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulyasya varjanam rakshasyati iti vishvasho koptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagatihi. So translation with Prabhupada goes like this. Anukulyasya, anything that assists the devotional service. Sankalpaha means accepting. Pratikulyasya varjanam means complete rejection of anything that hinders the devotional service. Rakshishyati iti vishvastraha, a strong conviction the Supreme Lord will protect at any situation. Fourth aspect of surrender is goptritve varanam tatha, which means accepting guardianship of the Supreme Lord. The fifth is the atmanikshepa, or complete surrender. The sixth aspect is humility, or karpanya, feeling oneself very meek and humble. So these are the six ornaments of Sharanagati, six Anga of Sharanagati. So Sharanagati is a very popular terminology in Vaishnava theology in various schools of thought. So different acharyas have given their light on this topic of Sharanagati. So much so that the Sam Sampradaya, Sakshi Sampradaya have even mention Sharanagati as one path of approaching the Supreme Lord. So to give some light on that, So here is a verse from Stotra Ratna from Yamunacharya or Alavandar. He says, Na dharma nishtoshmi na che atmavedi na bhaktiman stvat charanaravinde akinchanon ananyagati sharanyam tvatpadamoolam sharanam prapatye. So Yamunacharya is saying that I am incapable of performing dharma. I am even incapable of performing bhakti. But all I am able to do is akinchana sharanyam. So the some of the Vaishnava sampradayas, especially after the Ramanuja time frame, like especially Vedanta Deshika and those from his time frame, so they have given importance to Sharanagati, and they have even mentioned this is one of the paths to approach the Supreme Lord. It is an independent path. It is independent of bhakti or karma or jnana. But our acharyas have not made a distinction for Sharanagati like that. So Sharanagati is an essential aspect of the bhakti yoga process, in which the surrender is there from the very first step. So the devotee makes a surrender from the very beginning. So he gives up the association of the bad elements, that definitely is a sacrifice. And he takes shelter of the principles of devotion. That's also a Sharanagati. But that the process of surrender starts from there all the way up to the complete Atma Nivedanam or Atma Samarpanam, to that stage. So surrender is an ongoing process according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. It is not a separate process, or it is not an independent process, independent of bhakti or karma jnana. It is an ongoing process that happens as we progress in devotional service by accepting the process of bhakti yoga. So that is a very interesting point that we can understand. All these things helps us to understand what is real Sharanagati. There is not something different. It is accepting a guru is definitely a surrender. So we surrender to the instructions of a guru. We surrender to the ourselves to the mission of the guru and the previous acharyas. That is a Sharanagati, that is surrender. But that's the beginning of the surrender. And going a little detail into what is this process. So having mentioned that this is not a different path, but this is a part and parcel of the Bhakti Yoga process, let us see a little bit in detail what is Sharanagati means. The six process of Sharanagati, and how many devotees have excelled in one or more process of the surrendering under the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So surrender is something that is very commonly used. So just taking it literally, surrender means an enemy. Let's say there is a war going on, and there is a war between two parties, and the victorious party will say that the defeated party has surrendered. So what does surrender mean? Surrender means that they are giving up the fight, or they are making truce, or they are completely giving themselves to the hand of the other party to do whatever they want to do. So obviously they are not really wanting to be killed or wanting to be slaughtered, but they want to make some truce. They want to be let go. So that's what is the first type of surrender. But that surrender happens only when it is compelled. It doesn't happen naturally, or it is not willfully done. So there are many such situations that we can understand from the Itihasas, Puranas. So talking from Ramayana, so we have many instances, but one of the instances I'm trying to recount a few instances that comes to my mind. The son of Indra, so he takes the form of an crow, because he sees that Lord Rama and Mother Sita, they are there, and Lord Rama is lying on the lap of Mother Sita. So that time, the son of Indra, he takes the form of the crow, and he wants to disturb Mother Sita. So he is trying to with his sharp beaks, he's trying to peck on her, and that leads to blood coming out, and Lord Rama being disturbed by that. So Lord Rama becomes very angry with the crow. So what does he do? So he takes a blade of grass and he empowers it to become a Brahmastra, and he sends it to the crow. So what happens? The crow, it flies all over. It's not an ordinary crow, as we know. So it grows from goes to Indraloka, and he's begging his father Indra. He's not able to help. So he goes to Brahma. Brahma is not able to help. He goes to Shiva. Shiva is not able to help. And then finally he comes to Lord Rama. But Lord Rama is not able to help too, because he says that you have offended Mother Sita. So if she decides to forgive, then let us see. So then he takes his original form, and then he bows down to Mother Sita. And Lord Rama, he protects him from being killed by Brahmastra. So that's also a surrender, but it's not a willful surrender. It's a surrender done out of just a will to live without being killed. So that such surrender is not considered as perfect. And even another example from a Bhagavad Purana also, we see the case of Durvasa Muni. So he tries to kill Ambarisha by creating a demon. So the Sudarshan Chakra, who is protecting Ambarisha, the great devotee, so he charges on to Durvasa Muni, and he does the same thing. He runs all over the place to save himself from the onslaught of the Sudarshan Chakra, and finally comes to the Supreme Lord. But he says, I'm not able to help. So again, that surrender also fails. So such surrender, which is done in haste, just to be saved from the dangerous situation, is not the perfect surrender. It's not the kind of surrender we're talking about. But again, that's still and very significant, because it is a surrender done to the person who is worthy of surrender, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's still a point to consider. And coming to the other angas, or the other aspects of the surrender through the devotional process, anukulyasya sankalpam. So what is anukulyasya sankalpam means? Anukulya means that which is favorable. So accepting things that are favorable to Krishna. Sankalpa means taking and accepting. So this is an very important aspect of surrender, or rather this is the very first aspect of surrender. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, some devotee have encouraged us to do some chanting. Some devotee have asked us to read Bhagavad Gita. So that is an example of how we favorably accept things that are favorable to Krishna consciousness. So we accept the path from then on. But in the case of surrender, so that is the highest degree, is that we unflinchingly follow the path of devotion at any cost. So that's very important. So there have been great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj. So he, even when he was threatened of doing some offense to Durvasa Muni, still he was unflinching in following of the Ekadasi Vrata. And so that is an example of Anukulyasya Sankalpam. And so accepting the path is also very significant. It can even happen at a moment. Just like in the case of, we have the example of from the Bhagavad Purana, we understand, Katmanga Maharaj. So he was asked, how much time have I left in my life so that I can surrender? And he was told, you have one shana left, so just a moment left. At that moment, he surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the Anukulyasya Sankalpam, accepting another favorable to Krishna consciousness. So even there are many such examples that we can derive from the Bhagavad Purana and Ramayana. So a good example of that is Guha. So a Guha, as we all know, is a he has been plying the boat between the you know, on the Ganga. So when Lord Rama is asked to go for Vanavas, he comes to the shores of Ganga, and the boatman Guha, who is also a fisherman, so he spots the Supreme Lord and immediately recognizes he is not an ordinary person, and he takes the opportunity to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and accepts the service of the Supreme Lord. So that is an accept of something that is favorable to Krishna consciousness. But here we need to know, Guha has not given up his profession as a fisherman or profession as a boatman. He is still doing that, but still he has taken up to the path. That's very important. So that is, he's a very devotedly doing that to Lord Rama. And we see another more examples in from the Bhagavad Purana. We see how Kubja, and deformed woman, so she also surrenders unto the Lord. And then she is made to be a beautiful woman, and then she accepts the path. And so is with Ajamila also, the Bhagavad Purana. So he was not really given up everything with all his bad habits, but he took up to the chanting of the holy name and he was saved. So that is another example of Anukulisya Sankalpam. Just Anukulisya Sankalpam. That is also can save us from the greatest dangers. So these are few examples those devotees who perfected the Anukulisya Sankalpam and just Anukulisya Sankalpam. So that's not the perfect surrender under the Supreme Lord. That's just one aspect of surrender. But even that can save us from the greatest dangers. Even that can sometimes give liberation, or at least open the door for liberation and open the door of Patham Bhakti. For the case of Ajamila, so he had to take birth again, or he was let off from the hooks of Yamaraj, and he had to perform devotional service to perfect himself. So he still had ways to go. And so that alone is not enough to achieve perfection, full perfection. But that is good enough to start. And that's a very, if someone can come to the level of Kubja or Ajamila or Guha, that's glorious. That's very special. But there are more processes of surrender. But it's when we come to devotional service, definitely this is what is encouraged. We say, take to the do's and don't worry about the don'ts. So do the chanting, do the association, read the books, and then take prasadam, do's of that. But there is also don'ts, which is what comes in the next level of surrender. Next level of surrender, so Mahaprabhu is mentioning here, pratikulasya varjanam, or rejecting it as unfavorable. So that is very important too. Because the story that comes to my mind is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Upadesha Upakhyana. So there he gives an example of a boatman who is carrying a marriage party across the river. And it happens to be night when the marriage party boats onto the boat. Comes on board, and they don't know where exactly they are because it's pitch dark, and they rely on the boatman to take them safely to the other side. But what happens is that the boatman has forgotten to take off the anchor, and he's trying to row the boat. Everybody's thinking they are going, making progress, but what has happened is, since the anchor was not removed, the boat hasn't moved yet. And when it dawns, everybody finds that they are not moved an inch from where they were, although they made effort of crossing the river. So that is what is pratikulasya varjanam. So that is also important at one stage. So we have to reject things that are unfavorable. And talking about the devotees who are perfected
this stage also, apart from the first stage. And we have Prahlad Maharaj. So he has not just taken up to the process of devotional service and is preaching devotional service, but also he gives a lot of wonderful advice to his father. He mentions the dangers of material life, and whole material life is a griham and the kupam. It's a dark, deep well of no emancipation. So he also espouses the dangers of not taking up fully the process of devotional service, or the dangers of the other side, the material engagement with the material nature. So that is Prahlad Maharaj. So he has perfected not just anukulasya sankalpam, but also he has perfected pratikulasya varjanam. And we have Jada Bharata also. So he has someone who has espoused the cause of pratikulasya varjanam. He rejected the association of the any kind of materialistic people and becomes an extreme vairagi. And he, so that he doesn't waver from the his final goal of becoming perfect in this life. And so that's another aspect of devotional service. But Jada Bharata has illustrated that also can lead one to take to the point of liberation. And Maharaj Bali is also a good example. So although till that point of making surrender, he was a demon, and he was being political and wanting to occupy the three worlds, and he was very much wanting to lord over the material nature under the guidance of his so-called guru, Shukracharya. But at the point when Vamana came up to Maharaj Bali, looking at Lord Vamana, so he was inspired enough to give up the association of his guru, the instructions of his guru. And he gave up the instructions of his guru, and he was amply awarded by Lord Vamana. So although he pushed him to the Patala Loka, he always gives his darshan to him as being a gatekeeper to him. So that is the Pratikulasya Varjanam. So these are the great devotees who have become perfect in just by rejecting things that are unfavorable. And coming to the next aspect of surrender is Rakshishyati Itti Vishwasho. So this is a very important aspect as well. So earlier we saw examples of the son of Indra and Dhruva Samuni. They all wanted to get protected from the Lord. They came for protection. But they did not think about the Lord being the protector all the time. So only when we are threatened by the danger of being killed by a weapon, a very formidable weapon, that's when they decided to surrender. But that's not the case of other devotees like Gajendra. So Gajendra was someone who was already a devotee from previous life, but he was cursed to become an elephant. And he didn't have to surrender just because he wanted to get saved from the crocodile, but he had full faith in the Supreme Personality of God. He had the knowledge, he had the understanding of who is the Supreme Lord, and that he is the cause of all causes, and he is the only cause and no other cause apart from him. So he had a complete understanding of the theology of the Supreme Lord, and he, with that faith in the Supreme Lord, he was going to offer a flower, but that time moment he was caught by the crocodile, and so he offered the flower in any case. So then the Lord came and saved him. But he was sure. He wanted to be saved only so that he can offer the flower properly to the Supreme Lord. He didn't even want to be saved from the jaws of crocodile. But the Lord was merciful enough to come and save him, because he has to prove himself to be a Bhakta Vatsala. He had to come and kill the crocodile to prove that he will protect the devotee, as he promises in the Bhagavad Gita, that my devotee never perishes. So that's an very wonderful example of Rakshishati Iti Vishwasu, that the Lord will protect me in any case. So, and same with Sugriva also. Sugriva was in, I wouldn't say, he was someone who's accepted Anukulyasya Sankalpam or Pratikulyasya Varjanam, but he had full faith in the Supreme Lord that he will protect. Just with the words of Hanuman, he took to the faith in the Supreme Lord and he surrendered unto him. Although he tested Lord Rama whether he can really kill Vali, but he had full faith in him by the words from a devotee, that is Hanuman. That's important. So having firm faith in the Supreme Lord is very important. So that can also save us from greatest dangers. And that's Rakshishati Iti Vishwasu. And the next aspect is very similar, but it's a little special also. So Goptritva Varanam Tata, what does that mean? So Goptritva means, so being like a guardian, being guarded by the Supreme Lord, or accepting the guardianship of the Supreme Personality of God. So just like a sheep in a shepherd's flock, so it feels protected and it always looks forward for the shepherd for its protection. So the devotee looks forward for the Supreme Lord for his protection at all times. So he doesn't, it's exclusive protection. That's very important. So that's very important. Krishna mentions this three times in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita there are three verses which mentions about being exclusivity is very important. So the word that is used by Krishna is vyabhachari. So vyabhachari means one who is someone who is, what do you call, like a social woman and prostitute. So that's what she is referred to as vyabhachari, because she is not faithful to anyone. She is only faithful to herself. Her whatever her mind and whatever dictates of her purse, if she can fulfill her purse, her money, her need for money, that's all she is. She can be faithful to. She's not faithful to any specific man. It's called vyabhachari. And Krishna mentions the Bhagavad Gita three times, anvyabhacharini, avyabhacharini, which means that you should have exclusivity. So one should be exclusively surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of God. So that's what is Goptritva Varnam Tata. So if you are not exclusive, so just like Draupadi's case, so she wasn't exclusively surrendering to the Supreme Lord. She first tried to use her to call for the her husbands to protect her, and when they could not protect her, she looked for the help from the great elders in the Kuru dynasty, and when they did not come to protect her, that's when she tried to protect herself with her own strength. And when she saw that even that was not going to work, that's when she took up one hand, raised to the Supreme Lord, and finally she had to rely upon complete surrender. She gave up protecting herself with her own strength. So that is what is called guardianship. So one should be exclusively have faith in the Supreme Lord, that only He will protect me and not accept help from anybody else. Not from the demigods, not from the police, not from... So that is exclusive surrender unto the Supreme Lord. That's very, very difficult to have such a great faith. So what are some examples for this exclusivity? So one of the best examples is Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur had so many different situations in his life. Sometimes very inviting and very alluring. Sometimes very testing. He was taken through 21 marketplaces and he was beaten to pulp. And he was tested by Maya Devi, none other than Maya Devi, trying to lure him into material enjoyment. But he was not moved by any of that. He was neither disturbed when he was beaten to pulp, or he was not he was disturbed when he was allured by Maya Devi. So that is the exclusivity, because he was exclusively taking to the holy name and only the holy name, and he was not interested in anything else. So that is what is called exclusivity. So he did not take up, he did not try to profess that he was a religious Muslim person, although he was born in a Muslim family. He could have taken shelter of that just to the, escape the situation and then continue with positive devotional service. He did not do that. He stood firm in his resolve that he will only take shelter of the holy name. That's exclusivity. So that's what is called Goptritva Varanam, exclusive guardianship, nothing other than Supreme Lord. So we also know from the 10 offenses from the holy name, do not have, second one is that we don't compare the names of Lord Vishnu to be same as the names of demigods. So that is very important. Krishna likes exclusivity when some a devotee surrenders. So he also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita about as much as we surrender to him, that much he will reciprocate. So that is the parity that Krishna expects from us. So that is Rakshashati iti Goptutya Varanam Tata. And the last one is the Atma Nikshepa, last but one. So this is unconditional surrender. So unconditional surrender, how is that a little different? It is not even expecting that Krishna will protect, or not even expecting that Krishna will reciprocate. So that is unconditional. So we see from the Sikshashtakam, the last verse, Ashvishiva Padaram Pinashtuma Adarshanan Marmudata. So that is the mood of the gopis. So they do lament, but they are prepared, even if Krishna doesn't come in front of them and give us a beautiful glimpse, or he doesn't reciprocate for their devotional service, still they are ready to worship him. So that is a very high level of surrender. That is called Atma Nikshepa. So even if Krishna does not reciprocate, even if he does not protect, we don't hold him responsible, or we don't put the blame on him. So that is this very high degree of surrender. Atma Nikshepa. So that is exhibited by gopis at Vrindavan and some great devotees. And the last one, being Karpanya, being meek and humble, is also an essential aspect of surrendering. So by surrendering, one doesn't exhibit arrogance. Exhibiting arrogance is the bodily platform. So one thinks that he is in the body, he is the namesake. We say we are protected with Supreme Lord, but arrogance is not a thing that Krishna likes, the name of surrender. So one has to be meek and humble in the surrendering process, and that's extremely important. So these are all different. I try to illustrate from the different sources what I understood about the surrender, the different aspects of surrender, from accepting the path that is favorable, anukulasya sankalpam, and rejecting things that are not favorable, pratikulasya varjanam, and rakshishiti vishwasho, which means that we have firm faith that Krishna will protect us. Goptritva varanam tata, that is the exclusivity we talked about in the guardianship. And Atmanikshepa is having no expectation in return for whatever service we do, or whatever surrender we make. Krishna may accept the surrender and reward, Krishna may not reward, may protect us, may not protect us. So that is a very high level of surrender. And being meek and humble is an essential aspect of the surrender. So with this, so Krishna is, as when he comes to Lord Ramachandra, he makes his proclamation, just like he makes in the Bhagavad Gita, that Kaunteya Pratijanaihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Ramana also makes the same proclamation. Sakrut Deva Prapannaya Tava Asmi Iti Cha Yachate Avayam Sarva Bhute Bhyo Dadami Etat Vratam Mama. So Lord Rama says, anyone who says, I am yours, Prapannaya, for such person,
Lord Rama says, I will protect him, I will give him abhayam, I will give him complete protection. And so he can be assured of this. So anybody who says, I'm yours, Krishna is ready to protect them. So but we should definitely stand firm on that resolve that I'm yours. That's exclusivity and also complete faith. When that is there, then Krishna will definitely protect. And so, as I mentioned before, Sharanagati is an essential aspect of Bhakti Yoga. It is how our Acharyas have taught us. And we have to completely take up to the process of Bhakti Yoga. And as per the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and He has given us in the modern times how to practice Bhakti Yoga with all things that we need to understand for the next 10,000 years. So, with that, a little talk on my understanding of these two verses, I would like to throw open for any suggestions, any questions from the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranamas. Thank you so much. We are very, very happy that you came on call, and the class was very beautiful. It had a lot of aspects, right from the way you started describing about Sharanagati, about how actually the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they don't really make a marked differentiation between Bhakti Yoga and Sharanagati, and Sharanagati is there from the beginning. Right from there to the different limbs of Sharanagati, and with examples of different devotees who perfected that in their lives. So, Prabhu, I just have one question. So, in this particular verse, in verse number 99, there is a differentiation that has been made between one who is Akinchana and one who is a Sharanagata. A person who is fully taken shelter of Krishna and a person who is free from all material desires. So when in this verse, now you spoke about the different limbs of Sharanagati very clearly, where my question is Atmanikshepa Karpanya, yeah, that is what you were talking about, complete surrender, right? About the gopis of Vrindavan. So is that equivalent to the Sharanagati that is being spoken in this verse, you know, the last limb of the entire process that you were describing, is that equivalent to this? And Akinchana equivalent to a person who's Pratikulasya Varchanam, is my question. Did you understand, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay.
It's a good comparison. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't go into great detail of what is Akinchana, except to making a mention that he is not a full perfected Sharanagata.
Mm-hmm.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does mention Akinchana as someone who has conquered the material desires.
Mm.
But where does he stand in the ladder of the six limbs of Sharanagati? That is not very made very clear. So I would hesitate to make a speculation here.
Yeah. So then my question, following question is that only if one has perfected all the six limbs, he's considered as a complete surrendered person? Is that what we understand?
Yes. Someone has to, although different devotees are different degrees of surrender. So as Krishna makes Bhagavad Gita that so how much you surrender, that much I reciprocate. So every devotee who is coming into the process of Krishna consciousness has definitely surrendered to a different degree. And we are making that journey towards making the full surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And so that full surrender is very important. Because think like this. So we desire to go to the spiritual world. We go to the Goloka Vrindavan. And unless we are really in tune with the surrounding, like I mentioned, where Krishna is the enjoyer and we are all enjoyed. So it is hard to really keep our citizenship in the Goloka Vrindavan.
Mm.
So we will not have the you will not have the interest even to do this. So we need to consider, we need to really consider this carefully. The choice that we're making in going to the spiritual world is that we want to be reinstated in our original position of being a full, enjoyable, Krishna's enjoyable for Krishna relationship in which Krishna is enjoyed and we are enjoyed. So that is, it's very important to understand that the Sharanagati is helping us understand that we have to give up everything that we have and we have to take only to Krishna exclusively without any conditions. That is when we can really regain the lost relationship with Krishna fully. But Krishna might have given us His grace and He might really make us pure if He would like to, and He might accept us also. That's called Kripa Siddhi, and that we've seen in many cases. So Krishna might even, in the case of Kartika month glories we see, and someone offering flower to Krishna, someone offering a ghee lamp, even in the story of mouse came and offered a ghee lamp. It just caught a hold of the burning ghee wick and then it finally died also through the fire, but it still offered, made a kind of an offering to the Lord, and still he got moksha, still he got the highest stage. And here we see also in the previous verse of how the Putana also was given the same kind of special Kripa Siddhi by Lord Krishna. So that also happens time and again. So where Krishna does let the process take over and not unnecessarily interfere, and or he lets his pure devotees handle that by giving special mercy through them. So that also is possible. But yes, but ultimately our goal should be is to get 100 marks out of 100 in all the six phases of Sharanagati.
Very good. Yeah, very, very nice. And very, actually, this class was very good. It helped me understand a lot of other things. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Very indebted to you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Sir, as well.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was very happy that you spoke on this Sharanagati because I've been wanting a more detailed explanation of the six limbs of it. The last two, which in English I normally hear as being humility and complete surrender, surrendering one's entire, I guess, existence. So this humility, I think you call it being meek and humble. I was wondering if you could somehow elaborate on that a little bit more, because you meekness and humility, these words, they have, I call them buzzwords, it's like sometimes they're used in so many different ways, they can have, the meaning can become a little bit vague, because they, so when you say that one aspect is to be meek and humble, exactly what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a nice question. So my understanding of that is, being meek and humble is a natural disposition of a devotee, because a devotee understands what is real position as a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant of the Supreme Lord. And even in the conditioned stage, we can easily understand that we are really helpless without the help of the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, without the help of the grace of the Supreme Lord. We are really helpless and we are full of faults, full of anarthas, and we are constantly tormented by that. And there is always the pangs of material suffering being imposed on us. So all these things, definitely, as a devotee who is acknowledging the truth around him, definitely makes one meek and humble. So being arrogant and being trying to be something else is an artificial imposition, actually speaking. In the corporate world and everything, we try to be what we are really not, or trying to pose ourselves as something that we are really not, so that we gain and name fame and glory from our situation and make the best out of the situation. So that's actually an artificial situation where we don't acknowledge our helplessness, and we make an artificial portrayal of what we are really not. So that's actually an totally an hypocritic situation. So my understanding of meek and humility in this process of surrender is just acknowledging the reality of how wonderful and supreme is the Supreme Lord, and how merciful is He, and our real helpless situation that we are in, and even being not being able to execute the simplest things like chanting properly or following the rules and regulations of the Guru's instructions. So that definitely makes a devotee very humble, naturally. That is my understanding of what the weak and humble humility is.
Okay, that was great. And then I just want to tease apart these six a little bit more for my own clarity. So you described meekness and humility very nicely. And then one of the other limbs was that we rely exclusively on Krishna for our welfare. You know, you gave Draupadi as an example. So when you were giving Draupadi as an example, that was There's two lenses. There's one is seeing Krishna as our maintainer, and one is seeing Him as our protector. So the Draupadi example was an example of Krishna, seeing Krishna as our only protector or our only maintainer. I would guess protector.
Yeah. Yes, Draupadi's situation was, there was an eye-opener for her. There was a changing, I can say it was a transition point for her to surrender unto the Lord. And she remained surrendered after that. So, but there are many devotees like Ambarish who has just relied upon the Supreme Lord for even for, not just for protection, but for maintenance also.
Yeah, these two also the distinction between them, I find, can be a little bit blurred sometimes, you know. But maintenance is just relying on Krishna for our everyday well-being, right? Whereas protection is in cases where there's like maybe some kind of unusual threat to our well-being. Is that the distinction you would make?
Not just the unusual threat, but even otherwise, even for the simplest of things, the devotee is always seeking for protection. Like even, because the dangers are always there. If we were to see it like that, padam padam yati padam natesham. So there is a danger at every step. So it's not just someone is really, threat comes once in a while, very rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always there. So devotee really sees like that. And you see, so that's a way to remember Krishna. So we may not really see danger in each and every step, but we really see that danger, how being callous, how being inattentive, where it can lead to. So we always remind ourselves of the dangers and always keep ourselves in the protection of the Lord. So that will save us from even callousness can be a great and it can lead to a flip in a devotee's constitutional position very easily. So one should be very careful.
Callousness, you mean being inattentive to the possible all the possible dangers that exist. Is that what you mean by callous?
Yes. Yes.
And
that's
so
very nicely illustrated by some of our acharyas who have espoused just that. They amplified it very well in their life, like Haridas Thakur. I'm sorry, like Gaurkishodas Babaji Maharaj. So they have very cautiously avoided any kind of association with the material people. And he would chant in and sitting in a bathroom and where there is filthy things thrown away near the garbage, just to avoid the association of the materialistic people. So that's again just to show us that we should not imitate that, but we have to take the lessons from that. The lesson is that we have to always be careful. If Gaur Keshavdas Babaji Maharaj, such a great elevated Vaishnava, who is in one of the Manjaris in Radha Krishna's pastimes, so if he were to take that position of being so agnostic about the material world, so then we have to be just a lesson for us that how we should be careful and not just be callous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of that famous quote by Srila Prabhupada that, you know, he felt that his disciples were not fearful enough of Maya. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. And so maintenance refers to more like just keeping the things involving just keeping body and soul together, right? Krishna's our maintainer.
We leave it to Krishna. Whatever he gives, we accept. So if he wants to give more than that, then we just see how we can utilize in Krishna's service. If he just maintains us by giving what is necessary to keep the body and soul together, we just accept that. So just living up to his desire, surrendering to his desire is what is the real surrender. So if he gives us more, and if Guru's direction for us is to use it in Krishna's service, then we do that. It's not that the advice is not to throw away all the millions of dollars, but if the advice from the Guru is to use it in Krishna's service, then we don't hesitate from doing that.
So that's the Krishna is my maintainer limb.
Yes, for our own maintenance, we take the very as much as required. But rest, we don't see it as our property, we see it as Krishna's property.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was very, very, very nice elucidation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay. So thank you all so much for joining. Thank you, Prabhu, for the very, very wonderful class and the very good discussion that we had today. We hope to hear more of your classes. Please come again. Thank you again for your association. We'll end the call now. वंचा कल्पतरु व्यस्य कृपा
कल्पतरु व्यस्य कृपा
सदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय हिज ग्रेस लक्ष्मी नरसिंह देव प्रभु की जय हरे कृष्णा